Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 16th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we stand for the sacred cause of liberty, and we use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions at our fingertip, as you know. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Now, man, we got a lot to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. Very little time to get it done. Joe Biden clears 270 electoral votes, and then he lies and says democracy won. Well, if democracy won, does that mean they've undermined the constitutional republic? The answer, yes, they have. And that's probably why he's saying it. Maybe it's not a lie after all. Maybe they've turned our constitutional republic into a flat-out democracy with vote fraud. They who have the greater numbers, they who have the power win, by hook or by crook, doesn't matter. Is that what good old Joe's saying, or is it just simply that he's ignorant and doesn't understand that we don't even have a democracy in the first place, huh? Don't know. But anyway, the Wall Street Journal published an editorial calling out Donald Trump for his failure to concede the election to Joe. I don't know why you'd concede when all the steps haven't been accomplished. Doesn't the Congress still have a deadline of January 6th to kind of double down and support the Electoral College there? Remember, in America, there's checks and balances, ladies and gentlemen, designed to make sure no one gains too much power. Wrongfully so. At least that was the attempt of the founders. It's being obliterated under the name of expediency now. That's another topic. But beware, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you that right now, when they call it too early. Joe Biden promised during the debates that he would not declare victory before all the I's were dotted and T's were crossed. But, of course, Joe Biden is a flat-out liar, and he lied and deceived the people, and he jumped on it too early, and now he's getting backing from everyone under the sun, including the courts. Dishonestly so. In fact, Trump, Attorney General Barr, stepping down. He was a swamp monster, always has been. Don't know why Trump surrounds himself with those kind of people, but now it's coming back to haunt the good president. It's his undoing with the people he's got surrounding him. They're all swamp monsters, and they're out to get him, and it's pretty hard to ignore that reality check now, huh? Roger Stone, Trump's ally, is considering a Senate run against either Marco Rubio or Rick Scott in the 2022 primaries, so we'll keep an eye on that, Paul. Do you want Roger Stone, Rick Scott, or Rubio in there? See, none of them seem acceptable to me, but then, of course, I'm a constitutional conservative, not just a pseudo-conservative, huh? Sidney Powell doing a great job. She wants to protect and defend the lawful votes of America. She's going to push for a RICO case. We'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds coming up as well. We also talked about Governor Gavin Newsom. The guy's a wacko, man. He's locking down certain regions of California in the response to the, quote, increasing COVID-19 cases. But you know what? Americans, Californians in this case specifically, are getting sick of it. They're ready to call recall, or they're ready to put a recall together on the whacked out Governor Newsom. And they say that, hey, the recall effort is gaining steam big time. They've already got more than half the ballot or half the signatures required to put it on the ballot. So time will tell. Hopefully they can recall Newsom. I've mentioned that, hey, we're not going to make a lot of progress until the American people decide to get engaged in what's happening in America. You know, otherwise, we're just going to be ruled by the rulers. But in California, at least, they're getting sick of it, and they're getting enough people to start to take things seriously. We need to impeach judges. We need to recall bureaucrats and professional do-gooders everywhere. We need to literally elect people who will obey the supreme law of the land and have respect for the checks and balances and who will take their oaths of office seriously. We also talked about the Declaration of Independence. Governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. See, ladies and gentlemen, we don't need in America to just rely on 9 robed thugs at the top, supposedly, to decide all of our election results and what's legitimate, what's fraudulent, what's not. We've got states, we've got counties, we've got cities, and we've got this thing called precincts. And what you need to do is just demand in your own precinct that you tally your own votes and that you have vote watchers and that you figure it out and you say, listen, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but you need to give us the numbers from our precinct. And if you can't give us the numbers from our precinct from the top down, then we say you have fraudulent numbers. And if you can, the question is, does it match our, quote, by hand, manual, transparent recount? And if it does, good. And if it doesn't, you know what? Who manipulated it? Okay, this needs to happen at the precinct and the local county and state level. This doesn't need to happen by going to 9 robed thugs all the time. See, the problem is we the people are the consent of the governed. We gave them consent. We gave them delegated authority to act in our behalf. We didn't give them dictatorial authority to decide everything. If you don't believe me, that was the Declaration of Independence. What about the preamble to the U.S. Constitution? Listen to this. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. Yeah, who establishes justice? The supreme 9 thugs or us? We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and listen, and then we do, let's see, the goal is to secure the blessings of liberty to us and to our posterity. Who administers justice in America, folks? We the people do if we step up and take our responsibility appropriately. Remember the checks and balances I always talk about? Wow, my fellow Americans, it's about personal and, do I dare say, collective responsibility? Yes, it is. Personal's first, I might add. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Hour two. We talked about pro-lockdown politicians and the mainstream press have whipped people into a frenzy about wearing masks, even though more and more and more studies show the masks simply are not effective. See, this is where the American people need to wake up, get educated, get involved. We don't need Joe Biden to decide he's going to create a, you know, 30-day mask, 90-day mask, whatever, in your local county, in your local city, in your stores, wherever. You know what? Are we going to just tolerate them muzzling us, putting a diaper on our face? Are we going to tolerate that? Are we going to say, you know what, I'm sorry people are getting sick. I agree the death rate's serious. I agree people are, you know what, having problems with this corona. The cocoa's bad. But you know what, we're not going to let it ruin the rest of our lives. We're just not doing it. We're going to trust in God and power through it. Believe it or not, some journalists are now calling for people to be put on a, quote, no mask list like terrorists. I kid you not. In fact, Rex Parris, this guy's the mayor of Lancaster down there in Los Angeles, California. He's calling for people without masks to be literally considered actual terrorists. He told the press, if it were up to me, if people weren't wearing a mask, I would arrest them for literal terrorism. They need to be treated like that because they're terrorists, he says. Okay, these people are off their rockers crazy. Okay, a White House official said on Monday that President Trump was willing to take the COVID-19 vaccine on TV. But he said, oh, don't worry, the president's probably not the best guy to do it. He's already had the cocoa and beat it. Well, here's the interesting thing. If he's already had the cocoa and beat it, and the president's an older gentleman, they've been telling you how unhealthy he is with eating fast food and everything for so long, that means he's probably got underlying conditions, right? Can't know because he's president. But nevertheless, if he made it through it without a vaccine, can't the rest of us do the same? In fact, I reported at the end of the hour, or the end of the show yesterday, how, you know what, it's a 98% chance nationwide that you don't die from the cocoa. And in many states, it's even way higher than that. In Utah, it's like 99.5% that you won't die, even if you get the cocoa. All right. Now, it's even probably less than that, because remember, a lot of people have received the, well, they've got the corona, but they didn't receive the test and or the vaccine and or the treatments they give. So you wouldn't even know, right? Very interesting indeed, but they continue to push. Let's talk about it. That's the recap of yesterday's broadcast. News the networks refuse to use starts now. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, talk show host in his own right, author, and more with me. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Any day to be with you, Sam, is a good day. Today is an especially good day, my wife's birthday. So we're starting it out on Liberty Roundtable. And as soon as we get done, we're heading out, going to spend a day palling around town and doing it the way God intended. But it's great to be with you. Good morning. A nice wintry morning down here in the South.
She turned 29, huh?
That's right. That's right. Right. Plus a couple, like, but not too many.
There you have it.
Met her when she was 15.
Wow. That's impressive, isn't it? Only in the South.
You can do that at church.
15, right?
Right. Not married when 15, but did meet and met at church, and it's been a traditional story, a wholesome story, I say.
Church is better than the local bar, I'll tell you that, and an incredible happy birthday to your wife.
Thank you so much, Sam.
All right, so let's talk about so many things, so little time. Vaccines are in the news, and I want to talk about this because they're now literally saying if you don't wear masks and or if you don't wear vaccines, you're probably a terrorist. You certainly don't care about anybody around you. And they're literally starting to double down and talk about a vax card that you'd have to get to prove you're, quote, safe and okay. Now, listen to this. Trump on vaccines, he's gone from skeptic to cheerleader. On the campaign trail, when they had the big debates, it was him and Ben Carson and Rand Paul. I mentioned those two because they're doctors. They all three expressed serious vaccine hesitation. And they weren't 100% against vaccines, but they were like, we need to be really careful here. And that was on the debate campaign trail for the president. He expressed concern about vaccines. And how did they know and put that question in the debate years before on Trump's watch? They would mandate virtually vaccines. Let's talk about it. Donald Trump has gone from skeptic to cheerleader. And really, the Trump administration has funded. Yeah, Operation Warp Speed was funded by your government, or else we wouldn't even have the vaccines to date.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
James Edwards riding shotgun today. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman breaking down. Donald Trump was a skeptic on vaccines back in the day. Now he's a big-time advocate. He's even saying, hey, man, I'll take a vaccine on TV to let everybody know that they're safe and effective. Now, I don't understand how Donald, a big philanthropist of yesteryear, would know if vaccines are safe or not. But nevertheless, they want to create that image. But here's the problem. Trump on vaccines, he's gone from skeptic to cheerleader. And the problem is government funding, that means you and I and our tax dollars funding, is part of the Trump administration's Operations Warp Speed that really allowed these vaccines to speed through and circumvent 90% of the normal checks and balances, the process that would have a safe and effective, quote, stamp of approval, if you could even call it that. That's all been circumvented, and now they're at market, and it's pretty much our tax dollars funded it through the skeptic, I mean the cheerleader, Donald Trump. Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, Trump's initial reaction to this back in the spring of this year was pretty much spot on, that it wasn't anything to be overly concerned with. I guess, presumably, it's just another one of many respiratory illnesses that you'd rather not have, but it's not particularly deadly. And, of course, I don't think any of us could have foreseen at the time how the powers that be, the media, were going to latch onto this and use it for whatever ends that they have in mind. Whether it's just a huge power grab and a transfer of wealth or a beta test to see how quickly they can cow an entire global population into, against all evidence and against everything you see and know to be true, to just completely succumb to whatever whims that they have in store for you. Trump, I think, again, his instincts are good quite often, but in this situation, it just overwhelming propaganda on the seriousness of this deadly disease that, of course, everyone across the board has about a 98% chance of surviving. I mean, we know people very old with comorbidities who are at the most risk of this, just sailing through it, no big deal. I think we all know people like that by now. I personally don't know anyone who has passed away from it. Now, passing away with it or from it, you know, that's a separate issue. But Trump's initial instincts were right. But this whole thing, this whole media, all the governments playing along with it, the meme comes into mind. Imagine a vaccine so safe you have to be threatened to take it for a disease so deadly you have to be tested to even know if you have it. I mean, that's basically what we're dealing with right now. The fact that they would go so far as to not just mandate this, you know, you and I and Sheriff Mack were talking about this last week, Sam. I mean, in no uncertain terms would I inject this hastily rushed concoction into my body or into the body of my wife or children? No way whatsoever. But how far will they take it? You know, we had a very interesting conversation with the sheriff about this last month. If it gets to the point where they absolutely restrict you from being able to engage in commerce, if they literally starve you out, they don't allow you to have access to a bank account. I mean, any of this is of course possible for overreaching governments like the one we live under. If they don't allow you to go shopping without the car, they don't allow you to travel. I mean, at what point do you have to cry uncle? It's going to be very interesting to see. But of course, this thing's supposed to be eradicated in within just a few months because the vaccines are rolling now. How about this? How about, you know, the whole thing, my body, my choice. We certainly have the choice to murder our own children. If we have the choice to murder our own children, with the defense being my body, my choice, how about my body, my choice on a vaccine? If you want to take it, if you believe that that's going to protect you, you believe everything they're telling you, take it and you're going to be immune. And don't worry about me. I'll be all right, I think, one way or the other. Take it if you want it. Don't take it if you don't want it. That's pretty much the way vaccines have been throughout the history of the world.
Yes, but they've been moving the needle slowly over the last several years to more and more and more and more mandate vaccinations, to jettison conscientious objectors, religious objectors, people with underlying health conditions that have concerns. You used to be able to say, hey, I don't want to take it. I've got whatever. And now they're saying that requires more than a doctor's certificate of verification, etc. And they're really ratcheting down. The interesting thing about a lot of this is now Fauci's even saying, hey, even if you have the vaccine, you still gotta wear a mask.
Yeah, and now Bill Gates, too, is saying it's going to be 2022 now before things get back to normal, whereas, of course, things aren't that abnormal as it is. You don't even hear about the flu. I don't even think the flu exists anymore. It's just entirely coronavirus. You know, I haven't heard of anybody getting the flu or the flu even being in the news one bit. And I'll tell you, from having
the only time the flu is in the news is when they want you to get a flu shot. It's everywhere for that.
Well, I'll tell you, I've had the flu. I would much rather have coronavirus than the flu. The flu is pretty bad, but you don't die from the flu almost never, obviously. But no, this thing with COVID, you just it is not particularly lethal. That they have gone to this extent to shut down, to destroy the economies across the world, and everybody buying into this, the emperor has no clothes. And I had a chart in front of me. I was actually reading it last night. I don't have it in front of me now. But in the 1960s, I believe there was three vaccines that you would have. That was the recommended schedule for a newborn all the way up until a young adult. There was three vaccines that you were encouraged to take. And I think by the time I was born in the 1980s, it was up to 15. Now it's almost 100 that kids are supposed to be taking from the time they're born all the way up to their 18. And that's even before COVID. I mean, I don't remember mass populations dying off within my lifetime, not having nearly 100 vaccines injected into them from the time they're born until the time that they're in their late teens. And now, and that's again before this one, which is the vaccine of all vaccines, the mother of all vaccines.
They still say even after you have your vaccine, you still got a mask and you still got a social distance. So I look at that and I go, okay, wait a minute. If I got to have the vaccine and then I still got to wear a mask and I still got a social distance, where do we go from here? When will this end? And Gates not only says that it's going to be 2022, but he still says it still could be a problem. It still could be a threat in 2022. They're not even saying it's over. They're just kind of, well, at first they said a couple of weeks to flatten the curve. Now we're talking about 2022 as a maybe. And even after the vaccines, you got to wear a mask and you got to go ahead and social distance. And they're setting us up for the long haul, buddy.
Does it take the vaccine two years to work? I mean, that's one hell of a vaccine, 2 years for it to take effect and protect you. But yeah, herd immunity was always the, look, if this was a thing like the bubonic plague, the Black Death of medieval Europe, where if you get it, I mean, you're just dead. There's no doubt about it. And it spreads like wildfire. I mean, if this was something like that, that's a cause for the level of alert and overreactive concern that we've been dealt with. I mean, again, if you can just tune out the narrative out there and you just look and you see and you go around in your social circles and you look and see who's gotten sick, who's passed away, you're going to feel very good about this thing, even if you get it. I don't want to get the flu. I don't want to get coronavirus. I don't want to get any sort of illness. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to feel bad. I don't want to have a cold. But the extent that they have gone with this, obviously, what we've been told is just untrue.
And the problem with it all, ladies and gentlemen, is all rights are being jettisoned on the altar of this. And a good friend of mine, in fact, a family friend, well, I should say this, a family member, I just want to be kind of careful, wrote an article about the gods that we now worship. And basically it talked about how, you know what, we have turned the vaccine, quote, leaders into gods. So what gives Bill Gates, Donald Trump, so Donald, you know, he's going to take the vaccine so that you know it's safe and effective. Donald Trump tells you that it's safe and effective. But where does Donald Trump, for instance, Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci have, you know, all this so-called expertise to become gods on the vaccines? Here's Trump to make the point.
As the FDA gives emergency approval for the use of Pfizer-BioNTech's vaccine, President Trump's reaction:
we have delivered a safe and effective vaccine in just 9 months.
How does he know it's safe and effective? Okay, we've circumvented all the normal controls to determine safeness, effectiveness, whatever else. So he doesn't really know that, but he's claiming it. Wrongfully so, not because it may not be true. I don't know if it's true or not. I just know, hey, we've sped this thing through Operation Warp Speed. How do we know it's safe and effective? Okay, now we have reports of people getting the palsy from it. We have reports of people dying from it. We have, okay, he continues, listen.
This is one of the greatest scientific accomplishments in history.
Isn't that an overstatement to say the least? This is one of the greatest scientific events in history? Are you kidding me right now?
It will save millions of lives and soon end the pandemic once and for all.
Wait a minute. It'll save lives and end the pandemic. Didn't Donald Trump say we're going to end the pandemic like back last April? Hey, this thing's almost over. No problem. Now, almost a year later, he's saying we're going to end the pandemic. But the people that surround Donald Trump, okay, Bill Gates, hey, coronavirus could still be a risk in 2022. Anthony Fauci, hey. Yeah, social distancing and masks are still necessary even after you get the vaccine. They're not planning to let up anytime soon. It's not even close to over yet. In fact, all they'd have to do is somehow release another variant of the COCO and we'd be back right to square one, boom, in 2 seconds. And only the radical terrorists would be complaining. That's how they would pitch it, wouldn't it be? Right? That's where we go. When we come back, we'll let James rock and roll on this topic. James Edwards with us. He's author of a book called Racism Spacism. He's also an incredible talk show host in his own right. His show every Saturday night, live on your radio, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Check it out. James Edwards, Sam Bushman, back in a flash.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
Georgia officials are launching an investigation into Cobb County and say they didn't follow proper procedures when matching signatures on Election Day. In a press conference on Monday, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger announced his office will be conducting a probe on absentee voter signatures on ballots. A nor'easter was on target to slam parts of Mid-Atlantic and New England states starting Wednesday, bringing heavy snow, strong winds, and some coastal flooding. According to AccuWeather, the nor'easter was anticipated to bring more snow than all of last year's combined in Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, New York City, and Boston. Freezing rain and ice accumulations were also expected for parts of North Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia. An organizer to recall California Governor Gavin Newsom attributes the effort's momentum not to any blue or red tide, but a citizen's tide based on the governor's hypocritical actions during the pandemic. Annie Dunsmore of Rescue California 2021 said Tuesday that the recall effort is a culmination of many missteps by Newsom. USA Radio News.
Newsmax TV is exploding, and everyone's talking about it. Now, a survey finds that 30 million Americans are watching Newsmax TV all the time. Millions are turning off Fox, and President Trump says he loves Newsmax. So watch it, and make sure you vote in Newsmax's national poll asking about President Trump conceding the election. It takes a minute. Just text the word NORTH to 39747 and vote instantly. President Trump wants to know your opinion, so text NORTH to 39747. 747 and vote instantly in Newsmax's poll. Plus, watch Newsmax TV with great shows including Dick Morris, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, Diamond and Silk, Mike Huckabee, Greg Kelly, Sean Spicer, and more. Newsmax is on all major cable systems. Check your guide or tell your cable operator you want Newsmax like everyone else. Watch Newsmax TV today and vote in their big poll on Trump. Text NORTH to 39747 and let your voice be heard.
A communist Chinese spy in a congressman's house. Should we be worried? USA Radio News' Dan Naraki tells us more.
A group of Republican lawmakers have sent House Speaker Nancy Pelosi a letter urging her to remove California Congressman Eric Swalwell from the House Intelligence Committee. The 17 GOP House members wrote that Swalwell's interactions with an alleged Chinese spy are a national security risk to a committee that handles information critical to national defense. Representative Chris Stewart says it should come as no surprise that members of Congress are targets for infiltration by the Chinese. The Utah Republican, who also sits on the House Intelligence Committee, tells Fox News that Representative Swalwell should have known better.
I think that's the primary failure here is, look, we start with the presumption that China is going to target us. They're going to try to exploit and develop relationships with us. And then you look at the commonsensical kind of environment we're in and then say, does this person raise red flags? She certainly did. And I think that's where Mr. Swalwell has some questions that he absolutely has to answer.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
USA Radio News.
I want to laugh at the ignorant Republicans for a second, ladies and gentlemen. Right there at the bottom of the news hour, they're talking about this Swalwell guy who, you know, got in a physical relationship with this Chinese spy lady. And he's like, hey, you know what? They need this Swalwell guy, this, you know, congressman, he needs to answer questions. Look, man, Brock ain't answering no questions. Swalwell ain't answering no questions. Bo Biden's dead. You know, Hunter, he ain't answering no questions. Joe ain't answering no questions. Kamala ain't answering no questions. You Republicans are foolish if you think they got to answer any questions. Why? To who? Okay? They've got a terrorist ring running this country. Sad to say, ladies and gentlemen. Look, when you have vote fraud everywhere and you can't even have the courts even take it seriously, the courts won't even discuss the real merits of the case. They're just not going to talk about it. Why? Because they're beholden to the Democrats and to the deep state, even Trump's appointees. Okay? Swalwell doesn't need to answer any questions. For who? For what? What are you going to do, arrest him? I mean, come on, none of these people are going to jail. They're to the point where they're above the law and they don't even care what you say. Anyway, I digress. I just had to respond to that. Same thing's true with this vaccine thing. They got an agenda and they even managed to co-opt Trump into their agenda now to peddle the vaccine porn. I mean, it is crazy. They want you to believe that all you got to do is get a vaccine. It's just going to be beautiful now. But at the same time, they're telling you, even when you get the vaccine, it's not really going to help you. It's kind of like trying to deny you're a racist, James. It won't go anywhere. Won't do any good. What do they want next after the vaccine? Your left toe?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you said something in the previous segment that's true, too. What's to say they don't come out with this cockamamie, the virus is mutated, and now the vaccine doesn't cover it.
Buddy.
Yeah, right. It's a COVID, what are we now? COVID 20 or whatever. But you're also right that they have laid siege to Trump to such an extent, and he's fighting a battle on all fronts. Any given issue, he has to battle tooth and nail. So in this, even though his gut instinct was right, listen, this isn't a global killer. This isn't something that's going to kill all of these people, and you're going to have mass depopulation because of this deadly virus. Now, I know that they are claiming that it has killed probably a lot more people than it has. Now, again, dying with it, dying from it, two totally different things. But I think at that point, with so many other irons and so many other fires, rather than face global derision for being the one guy who'll tell the truth about this virus being the emperor that has no clothes, Trump just is going to say, okay, well, we'll play your game. It's real, and I cured it, and here's the vaccine that I shepherded through and blah, blah, blah. And so I think that's what he's doing with regard to his apparent about-face on
the
vaccine.
Yeah, the problem with that narrative, though, is once you capitulate to them on things that are not true, where does it stop? So, you know, that the problem with that, it never ends. And the problem is once you get a Joe Biden in place and or a Kamala Harris, you really have some other questions to think about. I'll give you an example. The Giuliani, who I don't trust at all, team surrounding Donald jettisoned the Sidney Powell team and said, hey, they're not part of us. And Sidney said, yeah, that's right. I'll march alone with Lynn Woods and others. And I appreciate Sidney Powell doing that. I think Sidney Powell is a patriot doing the very best she can. She's the only one that filed real allegations on fraud. They got dismissed, which is a sad tale to tell. We're struggling to find the venue that the Supremes will even consider. They're not rejecting the cases on the merits, though. They're rejecting the cases on you don't have standing, this, that, whatever. They're not really even letting the case merits, which means also the case details, which that could prove and expose fraud. They're not letting that come to fruition. And you know there's an agenda going on when they reject every single case without even looking at them. And then you have guys like Tucker Carlson say, you have no evidence, Sidney. Well, how can Sidney present the evidence when they won't take her cases? And then when Tucker says you have no evidence, if you say that lie long enough, well, doesn't matter if she has evidence. But here's the reason that I bring this up. Now Sidney Powell is building a RICO case against Dominion and what do they call this thing? Smearmatic or Smartmatic? I don't know how you say it. I guess it's Smartmatic. So Dominion and Smartmatic, she's got a RICO case against them now. That might actually hold some water. I don't know yet. But again, it'll be interesting to see. But the problem is they just can't let her take down the whole world, James.
This, look, we've had a little over a month now, month and a half almost, to absorb all of this, to come together and reason, to read everything that's been put out there by both sides and form our own conclusions. I think there is no doubt whatsoever that there was fraud in this election, particularly from the Democratic stronghold cities like Atlanta, Milwaukee, Detroit, some of these others, Philadelphia. There's no doubt there's going to be fraud in those areas. Now, is it enough to overturn the votes in those states to the extent to where it would take the change who actually won? You know, what I'm saying is we know there's fraud. Was it enough to absolutely overturn the rightful winner? You're not going to get relief from these criminally corrupt courts. I have had experience in the courts. The courts are as criminally corrupt and as cowed to political correctness and the whims of society and the levers of power as anybody else. I mean, it's just like walking into a church house. The churches, like the people who sit on these benches in the courts, are just people from this corrupt, fallen world. And just because you walk within the hallowed halls of a courthouse doesn't mean that what takes place in there is immune to corruption. God knows. And Representative Mo Brooks out of Alabama is right. Congress does have a remedy to fraudulent elections. And if the courts are corrupt and if the courts are not going to provide relief, Congress can. Mo Brooks is working on that. I know, Sam, you've been talking about the Sidney Powell angle. Maybe there's an executive order. There's still two or three strands out there that Trump's grasping for. The Mo Brooks thing is interesting, though, because he needs to get a Republican senator to sign on, and then this whole thing goes before the House. Now, keep in mind, even...
Hold on. This whole thing goes before the Democratic-controlled House.
That's right, and they're gonna bat it down. There's no doubt about that, but it still goes before, and you're going to have a pretty intense spectacle, and it is going to slow down the gears and gum them up a little bit more. But yes, you have a big problem with the Democrats controlling the House and, of course, these turncoat senators. But it would lay bare a lot of things, and you would have a lot more of a public the public would be able to witness a lot more of the process than certainly what we're seeing in the courts. Now, again, for it to even come to that, Mo Brooks, this congressman out of Alabama, who said quite rightly, listen, the courts can offer opinions, but the final rule on this is going to come to Congress. And Congress is, of course, the House of Representatives and the Senate. But he has to have a Republican senator sign on. Rand Paul has said, well, maybe I'll consider it. But, of course, Mitch McConnell yesterday, doing what Republicans in Washington have done their entire lives, surrender and acquiesce to the demands of the left. That is all conservatives have done in my lifetime and really going back to the 1800s. And he is trying to dissuade a Republican senator like a Rand Paul. And I think there were a couple of others who said maybe they would be in play for this, but they hadn't given a firm committal. He's trying to of course, derail that. But if that happens, then you've got an option there. And then, of course, what Sidney Powell's working on, Trump has an executive order where he can say that there was foreign interference, and then you've really got something in play. And I know, Sam, you've been covering that to a large extent as well on this show.
Yeah, and the question becomes, are any of these challenges viable? And it's my contention that it's the following. Every one of these opportunities for the president to sue for or push for redress of grievance or creating accountability is viable. Okay, I think they're all viable. I think every one of them has their place, and that's what the checks and balances are about. Okay, Rep. Mo Brooks to challenge Electoral College results in Congress. I think he has every right to do all those things, but here's where I believe it kind of the rubber meets the road, James. Until the American people get incensed enough to demand a change, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. And I don't mean that to be offensive, but I'm just saying, look, Sidney Powell's building a RICO case. Do we care? Well, you know what? You've already got Joe Biden, who we have documented as a criminal. I mean, he literally bragged on TV going, hey, man, I got these suckers fired that tried to look into me, man, internationally speaking. They wanted a bunch of bucks. I told them they weren't getting it. They said, who are you? We'll talk to Barack. And he said, who am I? I'll show you who I am. And he literally fired those sons of a bees. Okay, so he literally blatantly admitted it flat out. And now his son Hunter has been under investigation since like 2015. They put a lien on his house or a lien on property. And they, you know, this was covered up by now William Barr so that it didn't come out in detail before the election. Look, until we start arresting these fraudsters, we're not going to gain any ground, buddy. I don't care what you bring where. I don't care where you go in Congress. I don't care what you do. If you're not going to arrest the criminals, they're still in charge, buddy.
Well, you're right about that, Sam. And, of course, throughout his career, throughout his administration, throughout his time as the president, Trump's bark has been a heck of a lot more potent than his bite. If he leaves, you've got a one-party government until there is, you know, God forbid, some sort of a revolution. The Democrats will take over and they'll never relinquish power because of the demographic trends, because of so many different things, because of the Republicans not being willing to fight, and that's another thing. If he leaves, that's it. That's it. And he was never a long-term solution, but I'll tell you, the alternative is much worse.
And we're not pushing for a revolution or calling for one. We're merely telling you we see the writing on the wall. Hang tight.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
So I'm just telling you, while you got the criminals running the asylum, ladies and gentlemen, it's hard for me to see that we can make any progress. Is Sidney Powell's RICO lawsuit, are there merits to it? Without a doubt. Is there vote fraud everywhere, from mail-in ballots right on through? Absolutely. Voting machines, criminal activity everywhere. There's no doubt about all that. But again, what are you going to do about it? They don't even care. They're in your face mocking you now, okay? They don't even need to hide their criminal activity anymore, because what are you going to do about it, right? I mean, you got literally Joe Biden going, hey, my son's a wonderful dude. Then you got Hunter going, hey, I didn't have sex with that whore. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I did, and it's my baby, sorry. And then we're supposed to trust him on everything else? Yeah, these people are just flat-out liars. They know it. We know it. They don't care. They're not even hiding it anymore. But Mo Brooks trying to challenge the Electoral College results in Congress, and I think that's a worthy cause, but I don't think it'll go anywhere. Because, again, you have too many corrupt politicians in Congress. But now listen to this. Headline says, Obama to give green light to the Democrats to take Biden out. He ran the Russian coup. He ran everything. And now he's running this. Joe Kovacs writes the piece for WND.com. It's really about Rush Limbaugh, though. So Rush Limbaugh is now openly saying, and this is interesting. I don't know if because Rush got lung cancer, he's willing just to say anything now. You know, I don't know. And I don't mean to be flippant about his illness. I'm just saying it seems like he's talking a little different than he's done for most of his career, right? But anyway, if Joe Biden becomes inaugurated as the next president, it will likely be his former boss, Barack Hussein Obama, who will personally have Biden ousted from office, says talk radio star Rush Limbaugh. Now, I find that very, very interesting. Because we all know Biden can't really long-term be president. I don't even know that he can last the first term. They made no mistake or no hesitation about he probably won't be a two-termer, but he'll certainly set the stage for the Democrats, they say. What does that mean? Does it mean he'll serve his whole first term? I doubt it. Does it mean Kamala Harris will become president? Well, interestingly enough, they call us birthers, they call us truthers, they call us whatever they want. Barack literally came from nowhere. Nobody knew him, and he, well, became what, a senator, and then he became a president of the United States, and nobody really knew this guy. To this day, we don't really know who he is and where he's from and who his parents are or anything else. And now you got Kamala Harris, the well-known communist female, who we know nothing about for the most part either, really, except for we know that her parents are not, were not at the time, at least American citizens. And you look at that and you go, wait a minute, is Barack really using Joe Biden as the paper tiger to get Kamala Harris in office, and they're going to jettison Joe as soon as the deed is done? How did Joe and Kamala, neither of them had real standing. In fact, it was a joke to think grandpa whacked out pervert Joe would even be considered. Kamala Harris got kicked out first round, no support whatsoever, but they magically hit the White House just like Obama did? How does all that occur, James?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think Joe Biden finished fourth in Iowa and fifth in New Hampshire. I mean, he was completely dead, and then he barnstorms all the way, apparently. or allegedly, I should say, to the White House. Kamala Harris finished worse than Biden in these early contests. She was so bad. I think she was literally the first one out and had the worst poll numbers of any of the Democratic primary candidates. And she, you know, she's basically going to be the de facto president if justice doesn't prevail some way, somehow, between now and the end of January. And, of course, Biden was never going to be the president in any reasonable standard of measurement. And you can say that that's true for most presidents, by the way. They all have their bosses, but it's especially true for Biden, and I think Harris as well, who again was roundly rejected even by her own party. But now, of course, she's going to be in there. It just goes to show that they can, they're so in your face and so brazen now. It's just, I think it's almost like a game as to see what they can get away with this COVID nonsense, with Biden and Harris. They couldn't, you know, I had more people over for Thanksgiving dinner than they had at any rally I saw throughout the campaign. But yet they supposedly won 100 million votes damn near. And so it's a big joke, but the government has no fear whatsoever of the people. And it was an honest fear or respect, a healthy fear or respect of the people that our government was always supposed to have. But now our people are so scared of being called a name by the media that they don't try. And of course, above and beyond that, they are too fat, dumb, happy, content, slovenly, lazy to really concern themselves. They may grouse over their beers about some things they don't like, but they're not actually going to do anything. And in most cases, they're not even going to go out and vote against the people that that they know don't represent them and are doing everything they can to undermine their standing. I just see here now, this is, I don't want to get off course, but you know, we got another $1 trillion relief package. Well, the working man's going to get a couple of $100 out of that. And of course, the big businesses and all of these corrupt
institutions. Yeah, but the working man's children and grandchildren are going to take a beating over that, buddy.
Well, if the Republic even stands.
Somebody's got to pay it back, right?
This is most likely. And Rush, this is another thing Rush Limbaugh has said now that he has become increasingly honest in light of his predicament, that we may be trending towards civil war. I think that it is increasingly likely that you will see a balkanization of the United States within the next 10 years. I don't say that, again, flippantly or glibly. I think it's very, very real that the United States could fracture like we saw in the old Soviet Union. When you have these totalitarian almost, it's a soft totalitarianism here with the political correctness, whereas it was a hard totalitarianism in Soviet Russia. But nations fall, nations splinter, and we are certainly not a nation indivisible of one people, one culture, one faith. That's going to happen. It'll happen one day or another. And I think it could happen very quickly. I don't think this country has ever been more at odds and more divided. And it's not as a result of Trump and Biden. I mean, that they were able to bring that to the surface, I think. But the fact that Trump has undermined so much trust in the media and in the electoral process, I think is good for the patriots of this country, because this hasn't been a government that has represented them in any real way in decades, if not longer.
I think the media certainly responsible for a lot of this. Big tech committed fraud everywhere. What's interesting about all these different cases going, you know, to the courts and everything else, most of them weren't even filed on vote fraud realities. But, you know, in my opinion, you could prove vote fraud with the big tech folks. But now what they're doing is they're kind of creating and dissolving big tech so that you can't catch the players. All you'll find is a defunct company in the end. Let me give you an example. Headline says, Twitter, time to say goodbye to Periscope. Yeah, the company's shutting down the live streaming app. They say they built all the services into Twitter now, and they don't need that app. So the point is that if you want to say, hey, Periscope was involved in any cheating or manipulating of results, so what? It's gone. Whatever. Okay, now Donald Trump, they say openly at Twitter, they say this. Trump will lose his current, quote, world leader status from Twitter's policies after Joe Biden becomes president. After the inauguration on Jan 20, hey, Trump's in trouble. They basically go on and explain how Trump has special kind of privilege right now, but that's going away. And Twitter applies unique policies to world leaders and various public officials of major importance, saying, hey, if the public has a need to kind of hear what they have to say, then we'll give them the benefit of the doubt and give them special privilege. Isn't that interesting? In October, though, a month before the election, Twitter blocked the New York Post. Why? Well, after they refused to delete a story relating to Hunter Biden. So now Texas Senator Ted Cruz was among a group of GOP leaders who described the censorship as election interference. Okay, so now you literally got them shutting down Donald Trump with half his tweets now. They say the second he's out of office, they're going to lock down hard against the Donald. So he'll just become a regular citizen in terms of the media. Okay, but you've literally got senators like Ted Cruz who are attorneys saying, hey, you know what? That really is paramount to vote manipulation and vote fraud. But see, no one's taking those kind of cases to court, James. I find that interesting. If Republican Senator Ted Cruz is going to say, hey, this... Well, the censorship is election interference. Well, where's old Ted now, buddy? What's going on around here?
You know, Ted, I've never thought much of Ted Cruz. I did appreciate that he was at least pretending to be willing to argue some of these cases before the Supreme Court, before they got batted down. Now, that's another thing. When we talked about this last week on my program, when 19 states sign on to a lawsuit that is presented before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court won't even hear it. I mean, here you have this, again, this criminally corrupt legislative body, which is what the Supreme Court has become, saying that they have the authority to rule that a woman can murder her child through abortion, but they don't have the authority to even hear. Now, forget the decision. They don't even have the authority, they say, to even hear a lawsuit that was endorsed by nearly half the states of the union, 19 states. That's absolutely crazy. And so, again, the courts are as cowed as any other institution. You don't want to be the judge or judges that defy the media narrative, because then guess what? The media trains its sight on you. That eye of Sauron gets affixed directly on you. And then you are going to have to walk through a little discomfort. As the president has done. Now, we can say one thing for Trump's disappointments. I have never seen anyone day in, day out, relentlessly and incessantly stand up to the media's butchering as Trump has done. It has just been almost otherworldly, almost supernatural that he has been able to do that and just continue to go on about his life. Most people crumble if they have their name in the news negatively one time, much less every time, every day. But again, you're going to have to go past the courts if anything's going to happen with this. And I was going to say, you know, what do we expect to happen after January 20th? Is Trump just going to go home to Mar-a-Lago and continue to tweet out the things he's been tweeting? And I was, you know, and I guess the answer to that is probably no, because Twitter will probably ban him after he's no longer the president. If he's going to do something, he's going to have to do it now. And I've said this before, Sam, if he really does. Now, we don't know. We don't know. I do believe that there has been fraud. I'd like to know if it was enough to absolutely change the results of the election. Trump apparently, or at least claims to know. And if he's got the smoking gun, and if he willingly allows himself to be swept from the White House, even though he knows that you've got a fraudulent election that turns basically America into a banana republic, he cannot, under any circumstances, agree to leave the White House. If he, in fact, now this is a big if he, in fact, has that evidence, he cannot allow them to remove himself as president of the United States. I don't know what he does at this point.
I completely agree, but here's the problem. Unless you lay that out to the public, okay, the courts say we won't hear your case. Somebody somewhere in the media needs to be have the ability to lay out the case from Sidney Powell, from Lynn Woods, from Matthew Staver, from President Donald J. Trump, from where we can get the facts out, where the American people can know what's going on. Otherwise, if he stays in the White House with the knowledge that he's got, if he doesn't share it, and if it's factual, he'll look like a tyrant, and even the people will riot and be against him. Unless he can lay it out in a cogent way to convince the American people that the courts are so corrupt, but the truth is with him, he's in serious trouble as well. But I look at this and I go, Ted Cruz and others are literally saying, hey, Twitter censorship, blocking the New York Post after they refused to delete a story critical of Hunter Biden, literally blocking them. That's election manipulation. And that's the point. Nobody's talking about any of this stuff. But if it's all true, Trump can't leave. And if he can't leave, he's got to make the case to the American people. How do you make the case to the American people when you can't get the media to tell the tale for you? Hey, Donald. Call Sam Bushman, bro. I'm here for you, sir. We'll lay out the truth like you've never seen. Newsmax won't do it. The leader of Newsmax was donating to Hillary. Beware, my friend. You're surrounded by the deep swamp. But we'll take care of you, bro. God save the Republic.